The reason that we come to church is that we might grow. That's the reason why we come to church, is that we might grow. We go to the table to eat so that we can grow. And the more we eat, if we use our potentials right, the greater, the stronger that we get, and the bigger we grow as to developing into a man or womanhood. So then we come that we might grow. The Bible said to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, going on to perfection or the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to the full reward. There's a partial reward, there is a full reward, and then there is a people who get in as if by fire. And they have no fruits. They have no fruits. They bring no fruits to perfection. And they are scarcely saved. And that, after one trial to another fiery trial, that God in his wrath, in his consummation, is so displeased because they stumble and they stagger. And maybe you have never felt the displeasure of God. I have. And maybe you've never seen God in his displeasure, but I have. I have felt the hand of his displeasure. I have felt his hand of pleasure. I have felt his blessings. I have felt his reproof. And I have seen him in visions when he was very pleased with me, as far as I could tell. And I have seen him in visions standing before me when he was very displeased with me. And it always grieved me so bad when I knew that he was displeased with me. But nevertheless, he let me know. He didn't try to hide it when he would appear to me. He would let me know that he was very displeased, and I was very sad when I would look at his countenance. But you know, I want to bring forth some fruit to perfection. I want to be like Jesus. I want to do what I can for Jesus. I don't want to have emotions as to being emotional outside, as when the rain is falling. Or I don't want to be carried away with the infatuations of the flesh, as to the attraction, as to enticement of eyes, or my human feeling and egos, as to my human senses, which I know relates to the world and Satan being the prince of the world. He takes full advantage. But I want to be given to Christ in my spirit, that my enthusiasm, my stimulation, my stirring can always be as an inward source, as a spring of life, a spring of water flowing. The Bible teaches a river of water coming forth from your innermost being. For out of your innermost being, the Bible teaches that God brings forth living waters. And my excitement, I want it to be of the Spirit. Now, that's not always easy when you think about the Spirit, you think about the body, and you realize that you're born of the flesh. You are born in your first birth strictly of the flesh. You belong to the flesh 100%. There is nothing spiritual about you at all when you come into the world. You are altogether animal as to flesh. And that, of course, is why scientists traces you back to the origin, is that in Adam, all died because Adam became an animal. He fell from the heavenly source by a voice of a beast, of working through his wife Eve. And though he was not in the transgression, while he was in the garden, as to the illumination of the Son of God, as to sonship, he was called the Son of God because he was made in the image of God. But when that image, as to that Shekinah covering, lifted and left, it separated from Adam because he gave heed to his wife, and thus he followed in her transgression and her way, to the extent that death was found in him, and in him all die. And he took the place as to the feminine way of life, and today shows us the weakness of the woman, which is the flesh. And the woman and the man being symbolic makes our minds to go back and gives us an understanding, educationally speaking, as to human concept of what took place in the garden. But when we consider this, we know that Adam fell from that Shekinah covering to the dustly earth from which he was taken. From the earth thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And from that time it was said, upon thy belly shalt thou go all the days of thy life, and all of thy labor shall be for thy belly, for thy belly and thy mouth craves it of thee. Sure enough, man labors for his belly and for his mouth. All that he does is for his belly and for his mouth. And he is on his belly all the days of his life. And John calls him a generation of vipers. When Jesus come to speak to him, he said, Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites, blind. He said, fools and blind. Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. How can you escape the damnation of hell, you generation of vipers? So then from that, we see the animal parts show up because it was a projection as Lucifer through the beast. And he controls the beast until today by the old intellectual system that's called education. And he hath continued to do that, and he hath put his strength in force through the laws of the land, because sin gets its strength by the law. And that's why the law, even the natural law, pounces upon the people of today as to Christians, because your natural laws, if you'll trace the origin, goes back to the law of Moses. It's not that they have come up with a law. It came from the law of Moses. I've traced it back, and it comes from Moses' law. And even though it's perverted, and someday, as I say so often to you, the Jews will be the head of the nations, and all nations will be judged by the Jews, and they will be penalized, and they will be punished for perverting the law and changing it from its originality, which was the law of Moses. Even when our forefathers came to the United States, they tried to correct that and to bring in the law that God originally gave. And as I've said so many times, the law is of no benefit to the people unless it's seasoned with an element of grace. And they, being wise enough to know that we had to have grace because of our shortcomings, and that Jesus had already by then died for the remission of sin, they inserted an element of grace and gave us a great America. But today, America has fallen. Today, Babylon the Great has fallen, because it's no more the beautiful, beloved country that we knew as God-given, America the Beautiful. It is now Babylon the Great. Everybody is confused. The medical world can't find any healing medicines. They just give you something to just kind of string you along to keep money. The Bible said in that day there shall be no healing medicines. No one has the answer. The problems continue to grow greater. It doesn't matter who we put in office. And as one great leader said, that they did not care who it was that they brought to office. They said, if it's the devil himself, if he can solve these problems, that's all they want. And it looks like that he's coming forth. But anyway, it's all confusion, for the Bible said in that day he alone shall be exalted. And so then we're working toward a centralized point as to an effort to bring Jesus in, that he might settle the problem. As the song that we wrote, if they would give him his place on the throne, he would make everything right. But having rejected the cornerstone as to the builders, the same has become the head of the corner. The Bible said, which is marvelous, because it is the works of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So we know then, getting back to the originality of the thought here that we had, or our major theme of thought, and that is that man is still animal. He is still beast. And not only is he beast, he is proving this as to tracing his origin. And if you'll notice in his scientific theories, going back to the nebula mass, which they have the last little bit, say that they have definitely proved that it is so as to the origin through the nebula mass. But tracing himself back to his origin, going on back, you know, to the species of life, and back even to amoeba. They go back to the vertebrates, as to the age of the vertebrates, and back to the chlorophyll, and on back to the nebular mass, bypassing God, bypassing the Bible, trying to prove some theory of ignorance that is sheer ignorance. And they are still trying to teach the children that. And it has brought them to the place to where they have not only put God out of their lives in these ways that I make mention of, but now they don't want the kids to know about God in school, as even to prayer. So the devil raises up one of his major leaders as to a woman, and has caused all kind of problems. And as she's making a thrust to do something else, that's so ignorant. But nevertheless, we are children of God. We are children of light. This great, wonderful light as to the unveiled knowledge of God is revealed to them that sat in the regions and the shadows of death, because the Bible said unto them, great light is spring up. Howbeit they do not comprehend this light. They do not have the ability as animals to comprehend this life. But we are children of light. They are children as to the children that are bonds children. And they are bound to the beggarly elements of the world through their human senses and their human concept and their understanding as to an educational source. And they are given to passions and feelings as to the eyes and the ears and to the feeling as to the appetites and whatever. And there they go upon their belly, because they are a generation of vipers and beasts. And through the beast came Lucifer as to the old tree of knowledge of death. And so today, we being children of light, we comprehend God. Because God is not God that comes through a human concept of intellectual sight. Though you look for him, Jesus said to the Jews, the kingdom of God is not something that comes by sight, for it does not come by observation. The observation of observatories or whatever, they might look at the stars and they might look at the moon and they might define in a telescopic way everything, even down to a microscopic view as to see even the germs that are invisible, which are typical as to the hidden. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, they see nothing. The Bible says the God of this world, even Lucifer, the God of the vanity, the reflecting God of this world, as to a world of reflection, symbolics, allegoric types. The Bible teaches that the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, I say even the eyes of their understanding, that they cannot see or comprehend through sight, as to eyes of understanding, the heights, nor the depths, nor the width, nor the length of this great, marvelous thing. And so their stimulation is not as of to the spirit, but as of to the flesh. So close it is that it would deceive the very elect, if it was possible, as to the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But still, it is the flesh, as to the vanities of this world. And this world shall pass away, and heaven and earth shall pass away, and all that's in it shall pass away. For all that is of the world is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and it shall pass away, including human beings. But we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there is an earthly people, there is a heavenly people. And there are those that bear the image of the earthly, and there are they that bear the image of the heavenly. And as to the image of the earthly, as to the tabernacle unto death, it is the body of the beast, as to that of Adam and his family, which is a generation of vipers, in that the beast, before he went on his belly, he was not upon his belly, but as any other beast. But the curse was that he was upon his belly because of his deception. It is a true fact that the beast are different as to Adam and his generation. And Adam, we look on him as being the beginning of the creation of God. But evidently, it's an error in our understanding, whereas God has not given us the spirit of error. So then Satan takes advantage. See, through educational sources, we define in a human-like way, and we find ourselves in error. For we're told not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord. These things that we cannot perceive of, because they are so heavenly, high above us as the heavens to the earth, we have to then become as a little child. We humble our hearts, look to God, and then God brings us to the heavenly perspective. Our admiration in heaven, our desire in heaven, our understanding in heaven, our conversation in heaven. So we know then that there is a definite difference. And as we differentiate between these two, we find, as the scripture says, having borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Adam being from the dust and being earthy, we have borne that image as to the first birth. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm not of the world. You come from the earth. You go back to the dust. But I come from heaven. And I go back to heaven. So, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the first man Adam having been made a dustling, as to that of the earth, the second man Adam from heaven was made a quickening spirit. And all that is born to the second man Adam by the washing of regeneration as to the new birth, not as that which pertains to the flesh, as to that which perished by the wrath of God at Calvary through Jesus becoming our sins. But that which is spirit on the inside as to the angelic, or what the Bible refers to as to the inner man, as we differentiate between the outer and the inner man. The war, continual war between the body and the spirit. And so then, the inner man, the angelic man, no longer lives within your human body after Calvary in the sight of God. For in the sight of God, your spirit interwoven with Christ's spirit hath gone back into heaven. As he said, I come from heaven, I go back to heaven. Being on the right hand of the Father as the bodily temple, he is now your works, your finished product, your perfection, your complete in him. He is now at the right hand of the Father, that the Father may look upon him and gaze upon him as the great wonderfulness of you, that is you, and he sees you every day, bone and flesh, sitting there. And your spirit interwoven with his spirit, the Christ spirit, within that body, coming into the heart of mankind, having this heavenly treasure in the earthen vessel, but having a separation, a great boundary line between your body and your spirit, so that your body is among the dead, and your body is counted as that is buried, dead, and taken away, in that it is no longer you that live, but Christ that liveth within you. And the life I now live as to the inner man, I live by Christ. I am now as to God's sight, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the old beast image which God hates, it hath been destroyed and it's been taken away at Calvary. So we're no longer subject to the bond's child, which is the flesh, as to the human senses, which is in bondage to the beggarly elements of appetites, as to human senses of taste and smell and feel and hearing, that which scientists deals with. And they cannot go any farther because that's the only life they know. When that malfunctions or when that is gone, they cannot find life. They do not know where life is. So all they do is reflect life, and all they do is study the reflection of life, because they cannot even see life, because life is light, and even scientists say that you cannot see light. So then we comprehend this light because we have the mind of Christ. To let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be made equal with God. but took upon himself as to make of himself no reputation, humbled himself as a servant to be an example, even God, in human form, to wash the brethren's feet, esteeming others better than yourself, to get rid of self-esteem, and to look on the things of another in admiration, so that you don't admire your own bodily form and your own achievements of life, and to seek the welfare of another, that you don't gullibly be caught in the sting of the lust of the flesh and the desire of that you're trying to obtain unto as a human being, to lay up treasures on earth. For the Bible said that's where the moth, that's where the thieves consume. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever the treasure is, there your heart will be also. So then in this we know that the Shekinah glory lifted from Adam. It was taken away. And God looked at them, and through the prophetical utterance of the prophets, he said to humanity, you cover with a covering, but not of me. If you remember the message we preached on the covering of his glory, I remember some brethren out of Atlanta, Georgia, a couple of brethren there, Brother Abernathy's church, got a hold of a tape that we preached on the covering of his glory, and one came to me and said, it blowed our minds, said we couldn't understand, we couldn't get a hold of it, said we tried. And again, which proves that those that don't have the mind of Christ and those that are not called to be children of light cannot comprehend this light, because I know of a surety that though they were fine people, believers, that they're not gone on with God to have that wonderful infilling of his spirit. Having not his spirit, you cannot comprehend this light. You can only reflect what someone might say as to an oral expression, but the God who speaketh through that oral sound, you cannot comprehend that light as to that revelational purpose of the translation, the transformation, and the transfiguration to bear the image of the heavenly. So Adam being the quickening spirit, or the second man Adam that is, then he hath brought to us the lost Shekinah image that was taken from man in the fall when man fell to the serpent level, the beast level, and Satan took control. And that means that the Shekinah covering of the great glory of God, which is the image of the great invisible Holy Spirit, even Christ, who was with the Father in the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, when our names were written in blood in that great book of life, the same Christ that was the Shekinah image when the Father said, come, let us make man. He could have said, make man in the only image that God hath, because the Bible said that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that God in his fullness tabernacled in Jesus. As the original rendering it to the baptism, it says, and this is the one that I'm pleased to dwell in. So, as it was said on the mountain, not three tabernacles, as Moses and Elijah. This is where the tabernacle of Moses is eliminated. No more. From henceforth, you're not to follow Moses anymore as to worship. Moses is God, though he was made God unto Aaron and the people. But being the act of God through Moses, from now on, you don't follow that tabernacle anymore. You don't follow the moon and the stars and every other god as to worship totem poles and idols and all of these things. And you don't follow Elijah anymore as the great prophet that was sent unto Israel. It's like I asked somebody in Atlanta, Georgia, a Jew there, I went to buy a tent in the areas of Atlanta. And I said, what do you think as to the coming of the Lord? He said, Messiah. I said, yeah. He said, he come. I said, what do you think? They're a rich man. He said, Moses or Elijah? And that's all they know. But, and the Bible does say, I'll send you Elijah the prophet in the latter days. And it also says Moses. and they will come as the two candlesticks, the two prophets. But said not Elijah, not Moses, not three Peter, one. And we brought out in Revelation how that Peter, being crucified upside down, as history says, he became the Trinitarian leader. Not because Peter was the Trinitarian leader, but he did open the door to both Gentiles and Jews. But he became the first pope. And so Trinity was born as the three tabernacles. And today they constantly affirm as being the offsprings of that which was the era of Peter, whereas that era was Satan, that he said three tabernacles. And that era when he pulled away from the Gentiles as to grace and went back under the law, and Paul blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed, not Peter, but the era which was Satan. When Paul said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? And the different places were as Peter cursed and denied the Lord, being Satan. And when Peter boastfully said, all might forsake thee, but not me. And Jesus said, Satan. So we see then the Trinitarian way of life started, and it has been brought over by Martin Luther. As Martin Luther King, being in the same era, not knowing, he came forth, though the hand of the Lord was upon him, as to a protesting against the Catholics as he nailed his thesis, defied the Council of Worms, that is the serpent upon his belly. Worm, thy worm Jacob, I will help thee. But he brought the same era over, and today, though it be Protestants, it's still the daughters of the great Hoa, coming from the great Hoa. And there was as to a dividing asunder of the righteous as to that side of Martin Luther that was godly, that went on to accept the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, in that there's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved, and there's remission in no other name. That makes us to know that as we have borne the image of the earthly, we now bear the image of the heavenly, which is the quickening spirit. And all you that are born to the spirit are spirit, and you've come out of the flesh, and you're no more in the flesh. God has chosen you out of the flesh. You now dwell in heaven. You do not dwell in the earth. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, when I look in the mirror, it makes me to know, according to my human senses, that I'm not an ignoramus, and I see me there, and that's my flesh, and that's my bone. And I do not doubt that a bit, because you are of the generation of the vipers, and you do behold that, because you are carnally minded as the enemy of God. Your education and understanding is dust. Your way of life is dust. That's the root of your being. And you cannot see anything but that. As to those little human nerves that conducts that to your brain. And the same way as your appetite when you leave the things of God to hunger and thirst after the Word, rather than to feed from the wonderful blessings and love of God. But the thing is, I don't question that, because that's what you are. When you gossip, when you backbite, when you do the frivolous things of the world, your gullible desires for passion, and you refuse to die to the body and to the flesh and to the human senses, and the sight of your eyes and the hearing of your ears as to the vain jingles of the musical jingles of the world and all of the attractions of the eyes as to the commodities of the world. See, then are you beast, and that's the land of Esau, and that's what you are, and that's what you have, and that's your world, and you have a God over you, even the king of pride, Satan. He is your father. And he saveth the things that be of the flesh. And his will you do, because you are taken into captivity at his very desire and his very will. The Bible teaches, having escaped the pollution of life and the pollution of the flesh, as to being born again, we're not to turn again to be under bondage to the beggarly elements of human passions, human desire, and the infatuation of the world. But we have escaped. and you are not in the body, and you're not in the flesh. And even though the others constantly affirm because of the sober insanity of what they call good understanding as to their psychological foundations of life and intellectual reasoning as the human concept of his story. See, they say, we are here. We are in this world. We are a human body. And what you say has nothing to do with it. But see, that's because you have the mind of the world, and you're born to the world, and the desire of the world, and you're looking for the securities of the world, and your interest is in the natural things of the world, no matter what species of life it might be. This is where you're at. But being a human being, that means you're animal. Your origin is from the beast. You reason according to the tree of knowledge. Someone would say, well, I feel greater than a human being. I know that. I accept that as to knowing that that's true, because Satan said, the day that thou eatest thou of, thou shalt become gods. For your eyes shall come open, and they are beginning to come into the age of the concept of gods. And even as I preach what I'm preaching, it's reflected to many people around the world. Ye are gods. Ye shall not be as gods. Ye are gods. They shall be as gods, because they are reflectors of the gods of the earth. Even the woman that talked with Saul said, I see gods coming up out of the earth. And as it was said, David of old, I will sing thy praises among the gods, plural. And as Jesus said, plural, speaking of the gods, he spoke and said, have not I called ye gods? If then ye are gods as to whom the word came, or I have called ye gods, and indeed whatever the word says, that's what it is. That's what created it. That's what made it. In that I've called ye gods, or in that ye are gods, as to being called gods, even before the godship was imparted as to the restoring of the covering of the lost Shekinah. Then how is it that you have the understanding you have, as Jesus could have said, when I say he that is least is greater than John, and John represented those as to whom the word came, when I said, I call ye gods, because you were a separated people, even making Moses your God. So in just talking to you a little bit this morning, I perceived that the Lord was wanting me to talk with you rather than minister to you, as to preach, just exhorting you a little bit. Sometimes it catches Satan and the carnal mind off guard, because they keep waiting for the sermon to create the disinterest, and already having to listen to the voice of the Lord as the children of God feed, and as Jesus talked to them when he sat down. There at the Mount of Beatitudes, as a matter of fact, they're publishing a cover for one of my songs now, where we're sitting there at the Mount of Beatitudes, where he fed the multitude, and have our Bible on it, and we're talking to our people. So in this, we know that now to the children of light and the angels of light whom we fellowship, that we are now within their presence, and that we do dwell in heaven, and we are now equal to the angels and cannot die, because it is no more a natural world. It is now an angelic spiritual world, and we are the angelic spiritual ones that through a new birth has been born into the heavenly family. And that heavenly body, as to our birth, is sitting at the right hand of the Father and will appear at the right hand and at the right time, coming at the right hand of power. This Jesus said when they crucified him and said he blasphemed. Said, you'll see him coming on the right hand of power, in that God is a spirit, and he's the only bodily image of that God as to which God is projected. Overcoming by the testimony to the blood of the Lamb. The Bible said they overcame him. And now we have sat down in the throne as our spirit translated into his spirit in that life within his body. And the Bible said, when he, our life, appears, our bodily change. For when the headship appears, as in Thessalonians, change, then all of a sudden, the members, as to that invisible membership that's in the earth, will all of a sudden come to view. As to the hidden potentiality of that which the eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of man at any time, as to what you're to be. The devil doesn't like for me to say these things. It really tears him up, because it is the expose of him and the expulsion. And he'd do anything in the world to stop it, because it is the translation of the church. His word said, let there be, and there was. And with the great light as to the expression, everything else passes away. With the coming of this great light, even as God said, let there be, and there was, as to the receding, to allow the darkness to come, as to intellectual veil of death, or the negative side of life. So then now we're on the positive side of life, and the word is speaking, and light has come, and the Bible said, and with the coming of the great light, all will be eradicated. There will be nothing left, not even the mountains, not even the heavens, not even the seas. See, and we call those things that are not as though they are, because they are. Because he was, he is, and forever shall be. And as he is, so are we. And our declaration is not as of us talking, but the Heavenly Father, not as of yesterday or tomorrow. For he said, I am. And with God there is no yesterday or tomorrow. And with us, in that we was in his loins and are part of him, there is no yesterday, today and tomorrow. For us, for we came from heaven, even as it was said of John, a man sent from God. And Jesus being born, then that was us being born. Jesus dying, that was us dying. Jesus living and resurrected, that was us. And so we are as he is, so are we in him, and that complete in him. And we are his workmanship, God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. And that unto perfection, or a finished work, for yet justified, sanctified, perfected forever them that are sanctified, and that once and for all by the offering up of the body, set us at his right hand to see our faults no more. And inwardly he has sealed us to the inner man unto the day of the bringing forth, as to the change of your body, or the appearing of your body at the Thessalonian change. The dead shall get up out of the grave. Having borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. And Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved as to this one of Adam, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. And if this tabernacle of the wilderness is to this intellectual stress and wondering as to where the serpents are, if this one be dissolved, then we have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, even a temple that is in heaven. And the Bible said, ye are the temples of God, for ye now dwell in heaven, and he is that which dwelleth in heaven, even the body and bone of his own flesh, which ye shall see and behold, and ye shall be like him, for that's who you are. When he comes, then you will take your place, as to your angelic beings being made manifest in his mortal being, as it would be said as to human beings, when he said, fill of me from the resurrection, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have, as a true resurrection. But anyway, you are made the quickening spirits. Your sins are gone. The Shekinah glory, as to you cover with a covering, but not of me. You cover with a covering, but you cover with the beast covering, as to the human flesh. For I've robed you in human flesh, because you fell to the level of the worm. And beast ye are. For out of the dust I took them, I took you. But I illuminated you to a high level, as to put you over the kingdom of the beast, and to make you ruler of all things, as the very prince over the world and everything in it. But God could have said, you lost that to Satan, now he is the prince of the world. You are under his regime. Ye are his subjects, taken into captivity his will. He is your king. But we have escaped that lying vanity, We are not in observation of those things, nor do we consider those things, nor do we indoctrinate ourselves for those things as to stimulate an appetite as unto a bondage of human senses. We have the mind of Christ, that the stimulation might be the quickening of the Holy Spirit, and that is to a fountain open within the house of David as within. And we have this great wonderful stimulation as to the body and quickening of Almighty God, that the life of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in this mortal body as doing always the things that please the Father, and our quickening always as unto life and happiness and health, making us rich through the blessing, adding no sorrow. The world maketh rich, but sorrow and death. So this Shekinah glory that has illuminated the innermost being of my spiritual angelic man has separated between me and my body of iniquity, and my body of iniquity is now buried and gone. How then could I look in the mirror and through ignorance say that I see me? How could I do that? There's no possible way. That's gone. It's covered in a watery grave. And just as I do not go back to the grave to dig in as a grave robber to see what's beneath, I do not dig in beneath the waters to see as to that which has been smitten of God and hated of God as a human person, as to that of the despised image of the first man Adam unto death, but rather as to the glorified image, he having been delivered from my offenses, made an end of it, and the body of iniquity is no more. But as to he that is resurrected, as to the justification, by that delivered from my offenses, raised again for my justification, as a proof that death is no more, that is justification. As to man, peace on earth and goodwill toward man eternally and forever. So then I am now the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, and sickness is left behind, poverty is left behind, ugliness is left behind, all of those things as to days and times and seasons. Paul said, I'm afraid of you. You still observe those things. We are eternal. We are once and for all. We always was, we are, and we'll always be. For as he is, so are we in him. And when the woman said, we look for Messiah, he said, I am he. So he will tell us all things. And the Bible said it shall not be as to a person speaking, as in this time of God, but they shall all be taught of God. And it shall be the Heavenly Father speaking, and that from within his temple. For ye are the temples of the great, wonderful Holy Ghost and the mighty Spirit, as to whatever measure, as to whatever you can obtain unto, even unto the full measure, to be ye therefore perfect, even as the Heavenly Father is perfect, to overcome and sit down in the throne with him. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his Father. So go on to perfection, he says. Trying to find a place to close, a few thoughts as to exhortation this morning, because we could go on and on with the wonderful things of God. The translation is at hand. The change is at hand. My, what I would like to say as to the very things of this hour and the moment that we're living in. But this I do say, that we call those things that are not as though they are, because with the eyes of understanding we see those things that are not as to your eyes, those things that you do not see. We see them through the eyes of understanding. You will not see them, for you'll not see when good cometh. Because good, who is good but God? There's none good but God. That which is God is to that great spiritual world in which our angelic spirits are hid, even as John caught up into heaven when he fellowshipped the angels. Being as the angels, equal to the angels, cannot die, having passed from death unto life. Even the creature that dies as to the sentence of death within the human body, or the creature. So then here we are, they that dwell in heaven, sitting in these heavenly places, rejoicing in God, and all of the earth is left behind us. And though all these things we see fall around us, yet the Bible said they'll not come nigh our dwelling, because our dwelling is in heaven, and we are light, and darkness and light hath no fellowship, and light causes darkness to dissipate. It cannot get near us, for the Bible said, sealed inwardly unto the change as to the day of the purchase possession, even the body,
It said, sealed inwardly, grieve not this great loving Holy Spirit by going after the things of the world to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the desire of the lust thereof, but laying up treasures in heaven, having your conversation in heaven. Let your conversation be in heaven. Meditating in the Word day and night, bringing every thought into subjection. See, and there we are in heaven, keeping ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not. We keep ourselves by the seal. And the Spirit of Christ within us as to the seed, the Word, God's divine conception, it remaineth in us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And because of this, we cannot sin, because as to our sinful part, that part that was you and me, is dead, buried, gone, smitten, taken away. And Messiah will come, Daniel said, and take away your iniquity. He did that by taking away the body and releasing the angelic being that was innocent. In that, inasmuch as when you came to the knowledge of truth, you accepted the truth. And therefore, there's no more condemnation to you because the body of condemnation is gone. And you're justified, sanctified, perfected forever. His workmanship in Christ, that he proposed in his mind, has to predetermine as to a work, as to what he did before the world ever was, given to you in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at the rending of the veil or the opening of the great curtains to the church ages, preached to you as a mind that it might translate your spirit, transformate your mind, and transfigure your bodies in the ultimatum as to its three powers of dimensional work. And much, much, much that we could say about that. But anyway, I'm only saying this. He that dwell in heaven rejoice forevermore. You have problems with the flesh. You have problems with sickness. You have problems with shortcomings. You have problems with poverty. You have problems with the lust. You have problems with all these things. Because you fail to do one thing. And that is, the Bible said these things come upon you because you fail to rejoice and give God glory for all things. In that, the Bible said God has given you all things that pertain unto life, even this life and the world to come. And faith, serving God, is joy. Because when you really come to faith in God, by which you're justified, is to a service, being obedient to the faith, and that was the thing that Adam and Eve transgressed. Not as to the acts of the garden, as to the human being part, but as to the violation of faith and having escaped. Because it was the human being part is under being undeveloped, you can't escape because you've come to a spiritual knowledge. And it's required of you as unto death, eternal death and separation from God. But nevertheless, as it was with Adam and Eve, it was a disobedience. God said, thou shalt not, and they did anyway. And Paul says, when the restoration comes, it's to be obedient to the faith by which we're translated. So in this we see that you now have the restoration. You cover with the covering. And God says it is of me. For it is the same Shekinah covering as to the image of the resurrection. Even the second man Adam, the temple that dwelleth in heaven, even in the spirit in which ye are. And ye are his beautiful temple. But them being as sepulchres, dead in trespasses and sin, that while they live, full of dead men's bones that don't appear and people unawares falling to them. See, or that is to the tabernacle that was in the wilderness, even as to those unconverted when we were among them that were out in the world, in so much that God gave a grace upon even the wicked until he could bring the children out, bringing the Jews to Calvary and Jesus coming to save them that was under the law, these having died under the law, not having received the promise, never having come to the faith. And the Bible said, without us, they could not be made perfect. But when the Lord came, the promise as to him unto whom as the promise was made, then when he came, even in Isaac, all nations to be blessed, as I preached the other night, then he went down into the heart of the earth, even as a quickening spirit, while he laid the body in the grave. Preach to the souls that were in prison, release them, even as in our heart, as to the dust of this body, to release the souls that were in bondage. And Jesus resurrecting as he went down, being our perfection, so then they receive their perfection. So without us, as to our time, they could not be made perfect, but when the perfection came, then our sanctification forever and perfection forever, So went he into the heart of the earth that they might then have their perfection, which was in Christ's faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Having done all that they knew to do under the law, now they'd come to him and they resurrected from the dead. And some of the saints got up and walked about the city, and they were taken into the paradise of God where they await. And much we could say about that as to Abraham and Lazarus as before and after. But in this we see that we are now made perfect, and we are now believing unto perfection, because it is as not of works as to what you do, lest we should boast. But it is the gift of God as to the workmanship in God, as to what he completed in Christ, making you complete in Christ, and only called you as to the obedience of the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word of God, is that is to hear what God is saying in that you're taught of God, and then to believe and to act upon as the proof of believing. Because when you do whatever you do, that is your spirit doing that and not your body. If it is your body, I ask the question so often, why is it, as the embalmers refer to it as a shale, why is it that the shale, it lays within the grave? It can do nothing when the spirit is gone, because the body without the spirit is dead, which makes it evident that what you do is as to an unction of a spirit, either God's or Lucifer's. And the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One. So then, when you do right, then do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, which is faith as unto eternal life, and your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof eternal life, because your nature, being partakers of the divine nature of Christ, hath caused you to be known, the Bible said, in that the child is known by his doing, it caused you to be known as a child of God. And your nature automatically produces this without your efforts, and it stimulates you to the desire of effort. But, beloved friend, if you do not that which is right, though you be ever so religious, even as Cain and Esau, you don't have anything, because the flesh profiteth nothing by all of its doings, all of its sacrificial things. The Bible said all of these things have a show of wisdom as to even the sacrificial thing of the flesh. But still you're vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, even talking of angels and whatever, you see nothing, for you cannot see when good comes. Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world, having blinded your eyes, you'll not even see good. You'll not even see the kingdom. You'll not even see heaven. God will never let you see it, for the wicked shall not see good. See, but you that are righteous, having seen this, having comprehended this, faith purifying your heart, then Christ in your heart, is very evident that he is within you. And if he be in you, the Bible said he shall also quicken your mortal body. This life being made manifest in your mortal body. Quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwelleth in you, even the quickening spirit of which you are as inwardly, and you will feel it as unto life. Healing, divine healing, the virtue it is called, that went out of Jesus, or the body of the Lord Jesus as today, and it heals all. If the church had the virtue, though they're born to the Spirit. See, Jesus said, though you be born to the Spirit, as Paul said, you don't walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And then make straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. The Spirit, through its administration inwardly, makes manifest in your mortal genes the life of Christ, whether it was being as to heal the sick or raise the dead, or to see visions, or to have the mind of God is to understand all things. For the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And when I say this, I know, perhaps I won't say it as thorough as I did to someone yesterday, but I do say it fragmentally. And that is, I know Jesus said, no one shall know the day nor the hour of his coming. I know that. But then on the other hand, the Bible said line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And he did say that not even the Son knoweth. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. But then there's great consideration as to thoughts, and that is, do we dwell on the earth? Absolutely not. We are they that dwell in heaven. Shall it then come as a snare upon us? The Bible said, ye are children of light, ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door.
You would have to know if it was at the door, the day it was at the door, and or else you not did not know at all. Besides that, we have the unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And on I went with many things as to say yesterday to some of them as to the scriptural proof of as to what he was really saying. And though it is true that no one knows as to a human person, to begin with, you couldn't possibly know. Because the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. And David of old said, the dead know not anything. It's very obvious when you gossip and backbite and lust and thirst after the things of the world, you're not dead. It's even more obvious that if you observe lying vanities as to this world, its reflection in the God of this world, that you forsake your own mercy. For to conceive of God and to believe and call those things that are not as though they are, even that you see with the eyes of your understanding, brings into existence as to you in that world and it within you, as to heaven within you and expelling the world that was within you, as to the eradication of the flesh, doing away with that and that world passing away by the brightness of his coming, as to the revelated understanding as he speaks the world out of your heart, bringing the kingdom of God within your heart as the seed of the word of the revelating mind, you comprehending the heights of depth that remaineth in you. It cannot sin, so you cannot die. So, in this, we see the great world of God. We see this world as to the dead that know not anything. So how can a man know? But am I to say that Christ did not know? Am I to say, other than the fact that he came in the body of sin to be made my sin, and at the moment that the Shekinah lifted so that he could bear my sin, that in the resurrection the Shekinah might be restored as to me, having been with him, now it is upon me. See, as to the image that was lost, even the quickening spirit, of whose glory we are, and that man was made in his image as for his glory, and woman taken from man as to his glory, that in his image she should conform to his every thought, his every desire, his image, because in Christ you're one. Showing the church in the Lord, and he in Christ, if he hath right to demand of you as a woman. If not, he hath no right to demand of you, because he's a serpent to start with. So we see, folks, as the writer said, my heart is enlarged to you. Jesus said, many things I have to say unto you. Said to some of them, you cannot bear them. And even today, Paul said, you cannot bear them. I say today, you cannot bear them. But nevertheless, there are things to be said. Wonderful things to be known. And the church of today, filled with ball games and heresies and frolics and all of the admonition or admiration of life, rejecting the admonition of the admonishing of the Old Testament, seeing that they did the things of the world and got caught in the snare. See the web. Now ye are the children of light, and we're comprehending day by day, as the Spirit administers to us, 34, 64, 100-fold, let's go on to the full measure, the full stature. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth alone, to be like him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger on earth alone, to be like him. All right, we're going to stop right there, because we could go on and go on as to the covering cherubs and the covering of his glory and what we are saying. Paul said, of which you could not speak particularly in that day. But the light is brighter in our day. Today has a great significance. The shirt that I'm wearing, even the shirt I wore the last service, and the shirt I wore right now. The name of the shirt is, the Lord quickened it to me as I put it on. It's called The Brink. We're on the brinks of eternity. And as to today, it was as of yesterday that the flag was hoisted. As to having to do with the flag that was sent to Israel, Israel rejecting the flag, the bride as having to do with Mr. Bush and Mr. Reagan, accepting the bride, this as being the new world, and that would being the old world, and that indicating that the tribulation period was then upon the Jews and the finishing of the days of the Gentiles. And we can't go into this because it would take a while to go through these things. Depending on your hunger and ever how you come as to what the Lord will say. But the things that the Jews rejected, it was not the flag. They never opened the box to even look at the flag. Very evident when it came back. But they rejected the name Jesus when they saw it was Jesus Christ, because they do not believe in Jesus. And they rejected it. And a repeat of history comes, the babe being born in the manger, and that of Bethlehem, even at this place here, when we throwed the straw and the sawdust down on the floor here and under the little tent, as from the tabernacle to the temple, as from the wilderness of the intellectual world of preaching and indoctrination to the revelated mind of Christ. So the babe being born in Bethlehem, and Jesus presented himself, the kingdoms of this world, having become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, is through this revelating power that causes the dissipating of intellectual human reasoning as the observation of lying vanities to bring forth the originality, that which truly emanated from Almighty God, and to restore the covering of his glory, which is very God himself. I am persuaded to believe that these things of this world are not to be compared as beggarly elements to the wonderful heavenly treasure of this glory that is to be revealed within you, even the treasure that you have in these earthen vessels, since Calvary now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God as to the Word that speaks things into existence or out of existence, even God the Word, not as a sound, only as to a conveyance, but as the great eternal spirit, the invisible as to the human concept, as to Paul seeing the great light. He could not see it. The light appeared and it blinded him. And he did not get his sight until he went to the street called Straight. And when he buried the old human body as the beast with all of its religious egos, then a new man came forth. It was Paul and not Saul, the persecutor, as to the flesh, leaving the old behind as under the law and bringing the new. So then, as the light to the ends of the earth, so are ye, as the song says, and the Bible. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. For our sins have gone unto the ends of the earth, but who have believed our report? Ye are the light of the world, so let your light shine. Let men see your good works. Works? Not works as unto salvation. You have salvation by faith through his grace, as to the Spirit within you, but the works, as to the nature of Jesus that dwelleth within you, as to the fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof eternal life, as they behold Christ, his life made manifest in your mortal genes, as to do always the things that please the Father, even as Enoch had the testimony pleased God, and then the translation. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So then, knowing this, we know that great things is taking place, and as to the end of the world, of some things that I would get into if I just said a few more things because of the hunger of your heart, and that is as to the present moment, as to the present time, as to the flag came back, folded in a little pyramid manner, the way you fold flags, if you take them down while you're in the armed forces or wherever. I'm sure you've done this. When the trumpet sounds, there's a going forth of the trumpet in the morning. There's a retreating as a trumpet in the evening. And it was as when we were in service, it didn't matter where you was, being in the Air Force, wherever we was on the grounds, when the trumpet sound, immediately we turned in the direction of the sound of the trumpet as to the flag, and we stood at attention as to a salute. Today, there's a bunch of long-haired hippies. I don't know what they do anymore. They didn't let you run like that when I was in service. Even though the short hair didn't mean that you was any better than anybody else, neither does it mean that, nor the long dresses. It's like over in Hawaii. I saw women over there. Their dresses almost, within a tiny bit, dragged the ground. And you keep cutting yours shorter and shorter, you know, so that you won't really be like Bethlehem, that you might relate a little more to the world, and people won't think you are a fanatic. But over there, it's a beautiful sight. It's to them, and that's their heritage of life. And people just admire it in the biggest kind of way. But here, you want to offer a little prestige to Bethlehem and lift it up out of the muck, and you try to be a little more like the world, and especially if you got a son and a daughter that's running around like the world, you like to relate to them so everybody will know that you're not a fanatic and be seen with them when you know that they're so disgraceful. You'd be better being seen with a pig. And someone said, Brother Pike, I think that's downright ugly to compare people with a pig. Jesus said they're swine. I'm just telling you what he said. They wouldn't be in the muck if they wasn't. So, in what I'm saying, I'm only referring to what has been said as of late, where they made the reference to this, as the great admiration that they have for this, not as to one, but numbers of them. And that as to the people out here that misunderstand. As I said before, the problem at Little Bethlehem wasn't because people wore long dresses. When your wives come to you as to when you try to convert them and bring them into this, and they start them old long dresses, don't be ignorant. That's a cunning devil that's got your wife, and she is worldly and wanting to stay in the world. Because when the women come here with the long dresses, even the neighbors admired them so. They thought they were the prettiest things and the grandest things. And they related to them, and they'd come and visit with them and do all kind of things. And they just thought it was the loveliest thing. At the high school, and as the leaders of the school and the leaders and the businessmen, they come out here. They wanted this. This was their little heritage. This was the thing that they just loved, and they wanted to be a part of it, and they just cuddled it and just would do any way with me. See, it was when the people come out of Tennessee and out of the Carolinas, and when the parasites came in, and when they run around as a bunch of hippies and in their sloppy, evil way, if you'll pardon my expression, Paul said the baser sort that run their mouths, whose mouths need to be stopped, going about subverting whole households, the unruly tongue that needed to be rooted out and would be. See, and it was when I let the people out of Tennessee stay for a few weeks on the campground, and some of them so ugly in their disposition stayed for over a year or something and took advantage. It looked like that I was here in the South trying to force integration when I wasn't, but just trying to show the love of God, and it made them hostile, and it made them upset. And this is why they disdained us, and this is why they come down upon us, and this is why they hated us. And then it got around to the long tongues. Satan saw his opportunity to hit the gospel and the beautiful dressing. But as somebody said the other day, and as they say, as just recently, Bethlehem, they say, as to them that are without, sure has a good reputation wherever we go. And as they said, we have the greatest kind of respect for them people. Said, because to us, that is something, as they would put it, like out of a fairyland. Said, it's so exciting. And said, we make it our business just to watch it time. You don't know it, but they do as you go to and fro and as you're here. See how ignorant a person can be. And as I told you so many times, and even as in the vision I saw. See, but I held to what was right, and today, because I held to what was right, we still have our black people, our white people, we have the Chinese coming in, we have the Germans coming in, we have all kinds of people coming in. And they do translations for us, and they work for us, and even as yesterday, a Polish man that came from Poland, he's going to do several translations for us. He wants to serve God with us. And he wants to be part of us. Seems like a fine gentleman. And he wants to love the Lord and be part of this, as to bring translations for the cause of the Lord in these languages that he knows. See, and people everywhere want to be part of Little Bethlehem. Now, but I held to it till today. The discriminating thing is gone, and we have people, and we're happy. And our people are here. Though we have devils among us, and we have racial evil spirits among us, and them that scrutinize everything I say, or when I speak to a black man or a white man, they scrutinize to see if it's going to sound the way they think it ought to sound, or if there's a little bit of something in there that they might say, that's the way he is. Devils and demons, you know, despite our liberties to bring us into
bondage to the beggarly elements of the world and their discriminating way, to stay long enough to get the attention and some, as Paul said, in flying up among us and saying, you see that like we've already had them to do. And you need to divide asunder, which we've already had them to do. And every one of them came to naught. Every one of them was put down. With all of their brilliance, they were put down. Not one of them prevailed. We just loved the Lord and went on and gave them a helping hand to do whatever that was right in their life. And they came to naught. See, and we still have them here, false brothers and sisters. Paul said, even them that are among you rising up to lead men astray after themselves, disdaining this, coming against, saying evil things against this, all kind of things, but it came through the mud. It still raised its head up as the great, wonderful Christ and stands today head and shoulders above all that is in the world anywhere as Christ and will continue to do it. The faith spoken of throughout the world and the glory of God translating the church, and you still looking and you haven't comprehended anything in darkness and you don't see anything, for you never see any good. It's hid from you. For the Lord has hid it from the eyes, even of the wise and prudent, made it revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn and submit. But anyway, in this is where the problem has been. And here we are. This is the end of the trail for the world. And as I was saying about the flag, they rejected the cornerstone. The same has become the head of the corner. The marvelous doings of God. And that which was out of Nazareth when it was said, can anything good come out of that? Something good came out of it. And the good that came out of it was a babe was born in Bethlehem, and upon his shoulders shall be the government. And through him he shall break the nations like pottery, as rising with a rod of iron to sit upon the throne of his grace. And as Jesus said, being resurrected from the dead, though the dirt was thrown upon him, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore, and that ye pass from death unto life. Or that is to say, though I was disdained, I endured the shame of the cross. I despised that, but for the joys that were set before me. And as to the people that walked with him on the way to Emmaus, when he opened the eyes of their understanding, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scripture, by the way, when he said, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Should not the Son of Man have suffered and entered into his glory? So then is it not the same way with you that are the body and bone of his flesh? For if you was of the world would love you. But Jesus has said, come out from among the world, and because you are different from the world hates you because it hated him first. And they will try to kill you and feel that even religiously they are doing God a service. But nevertheless, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. And in the end, you'll be the victorian, because this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even your faith, be strong in the power of my might. Rejoice, for I've overcome the world, and that for you. So then, the flag that came back from Israel as to the rejection to show the time of the tribulation was here, even rejecting Jesus. And even as my lad over there right now, as to being the lawyer, the attorney, and striving the way he is, as to being contrary, as to what he needs to do as to relation to the brethren and that of their properties and that in Jerusalem. See, ready to be folded up and laid away, the tribulation period ready to come, even as Desert Storm when Betty and I was there, and would have made Israel extinct, but God, through the bride, protected them. As to Joseph looking after Benjamin, they were helpless. I know we talk about their great pilots and their great ability, but they were helpless. They would have been torn asunder. They boasted of the Six-Day War because God let that happen, because their battle was with an enemy that had been an aggressor for a long time. But this was the act of God as to suffering the thing of the man rising up in the place he rose up. And not only that, that's why God did not make him extinct at that time and let him go on as I felt that the Lord would do. See, to bring forth the tribulation in its time, which is still close at hand, that has to do with him. See, but they suffered hurt and loss, pain and misery, because it was a forewarning to them that they are helpless and that they have no power. If they do have power to prevail, why then it is it said, even of Jesus himself, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft that I would have gathered thee as a hen doth her brood, but ye would not, even as a hen her chicks. Now your houses are left unto you desolate, until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Even as Brother John wanted to hoist a flag and that in independence over to the Mississippi, which means father of great waters, even near the pyramid of Egypt that we said had to do with Egypt, that is to say Memphis. Out of Egypt I've called my son, and you know the things of how that Charles was taken from there, put in a grave over here, and many things it would say. But I'm saying this as to the meeting we're about to have, as to the threefold tent, it has great significance and would take hours to go into these things, even as a present day expression. For great is the multitude of his thoughts, the Bible says. See, but I'm just saying that flag came back. I was excited as I watched what happened and watched some things take place as to James, Isaac, as to him to whom the promise was made, as to the symbolic and of the things, as to our flag going to Mr. Reagan and Mr. Bush. And how that all of a sudden, through what Chuck had did as to the computer, about 70 to 100 people immediately picked that flag up and began to display it because he run it on his computer. The kingdoms of this world having become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. And it flies out there today. And that flag that's flying is the one that Israel rejected. And little Junior Armstrong, remember the foot on the moon, the woman, the prince, many things we've said to you, though many of you are dull of hearing. You didn't give the earnest heed to what you heard, nor did you take heed how that you heard it to incorporate it in your lifestyle, and today you're void of this thing, just a reflector. But nevertheless, that flag, it flies. And little Junior Armstrong took it on himself to take the flag down, which I dare say he'd have never done. I don't know of anybody that's ever done that. And I dare say that even until this moment, unless he's hearing me say it, he still hasn't realized what he did by taking that flag down without permission. What a presumption. What an ugliness. What a thing. But nevertheless, in this particular instance, the preparation of man's heart being from God, he did it out of the loyalty of his heart. He did it, and it was the act of God that suffered it. Very rare. But he took it, and taking it down, he come to me and said, Brother Pike, I've taken the flag down. He didn't say, I'm going to take it down. He had it folded up in a little pyramid-like way. And he said, I saw that the seam was ripping out, and they guaranteed these seams. I'm going to send it back and have them to make it good. But see, it was a good scene. You're not supposed to leave flags up all the time, but we fly ours all the time, no matter what the weather. And these flags that we have, the junior worked with us to help us get, and the brethren paying for it through their efforts, has saved Sister Beachy and the others a lot of work, because it has great significance, even as it was with Washington's wife, Martha, when they used her silver for the first coins. But nevertheless, I'm speaking of this flag being taken down as to the rent veil, as to the gateway, as to a great thing that we could say in many, many things, great is the multitude of his thoughts. But immediately the Lord dealt with me, because I'd just been talking to Brother Steve Beachy about Israel and something. I told him, I said, don't print that concerning the flag, that they rejected the flag. You're not to print that. Stevie said, we'll do away with it right now. He picked up that type, throwed it into the garbage. I said, they did not reject the flag. I said, they rejected the name Jesus. They're doing an article on the flag right now. As a matter of fact, I got to write something myself. And some things concerning Abe Lincoln. Some of our leaders, who with all soberness and feeling of fidelity, pledged allegiance to the flag, of which the flag stood for us, to those things, the liberty and justice for all, which today, though the flag be fined, yet the flag was taken away, as you know. Icky Bob rode over the door, and Old Glory went away as in the days of Eli, and they took it to the moon. And there came a new one as to Reagan receiving, even at Eden, our flag, and Bush, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And a new glory has come, for I will do a new thing, the Lord said. Even as to the resurrection from the dead, a new flag for a new people, a new way of life. Even Israel's had to take a bow to it. So then the tribulation is upon Israel now, and the days of the Gentiles is finished. And trying to find a place to conclude here, that flag flies out there now, showing that it's to Bethlehem there. Now this is Bethlehem, and this is where the babe was born, and that they rejected him there. And now this has become the head of the corner, and this has become the government of the world. And this is as the vision that I saw, even as the little government we set up when people kind of giggle about it, preaches and whatever. And then the vision as to where we saw the fire come, even having to do with Desert Storm. Just Betty and I being over there and surviving and going through it and then coming into the millennium. And so it is. Even as those that dwell in heaven, and there they were, dressed in their beautiful garments. He said, "And these shall walk with me in white." There they were in white, indicating the righteousness of the saints. So now we're looking at some things that maybe I'll make mention of tonight. Maybe not. It depends on if the same movement of the Spirit is here as to a present day thing. As to just a few little things that I might make mention of tonight that would be attached to this as to make more clearly that which we are speaking of. I will say this in closing. I just picked up a magazine, I believe it was as of yesterday, and this flag going up and all these things happening. All of a sudden I was reading something that said, no more barriers now as between the East and the West. But now all has become one, as to say the body to the spirit, the resurrection and whatever. Set for 93. Now the nations have already come together. They've already made their agreement. They are now one union. And they've unionized. Mr. Brandenburg. And speaking of Germany. And now they're all coming together under one great unified control. They did not say it's a government, but it is a government. Solomon said money answers through all things. And there's just two gods. That's money. Mammon and Christ. And if you're under the control of one and serve one, you can't serve the other. If you desire the things of the world, the love of the world's in you, the kingdom is not in there, the love of Christ is not in you, because that's money and what mammon can buy. And you're under the control of that. See, but it said they're now come together, and 93 brings it to an open declaration to make it known to you as unveiling their masterpiece, as we would say. And now 19 countries have come together. And I understand that Germany and France is also unionized in an army. Also, as to a tunnel that's been cut that we read about here quite a while back, a tunnel to join things together over there, even running under the ocean. A great tunnel so that the transportation will be as to an immediate thing. And many things we would say as to Germany, the monks, the stronghold of the Catholics, and demand 666. Six. And to say that out of all the monetary things of the world, as to monetary exchange, as to money, out of that they chose the German mark. And everything is heading up in the areas of Brussels and in that area to where if you don't have the mark. So everything is running right in line just like we understood, and everything is coming right down to the social security number, and that by the laser as to the insertion to be exactly that way as to take it to the mark value. For they esteemed their dollar or their money above all monies. That's strange, isn't it? Because Japan is supposed to be leading the way as to evaluation. But you see, when God evaluates and goes to do something as to his purpose, Japan means nothing. And yet, on the other hand, I brought out to some of the brethren the significance of why it's not Japan. And why Mr. Bush vomited at the table and why he lost the game. But anyway, you're down at the end of the trail, folks. And you can figure it any way that you want to. Look at it any way you want to. But in 93, that's just 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. 99 and 2000, and that's 7 years. It's very obvious that it's pointing to the tribulation period any way that you look at it. And that the time is very short, very short. And even from Calvary, when Paul got the revelation, Peter knew after conversing with him that a greater had come
than that as to whom the keys had been committed, as to Paul saying, I am the Christ. And that the old world, he said, has passed away, folks. And you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And our brother Paul says thing, says hard to be understood, that they that are unlearned do rest as to their own destruction. And as to that saying, and this is the end of the world. And so it is. Seeing that they have chosen this, the calendar dates being what it is, the election now is to the time of running, and the next move takes it right down to where the Olympics come in. And the Olympics come in, the 96 things, just about the middle of the year, they should be in full swing and have had there a little to do. And you know how long that leaves. And about that time, it will have to do again with an entry and to a great leader about that time. And many things that we could say about it. But remember, Israel has heard the gospel. For as it is written, out of Zion shall go forth the deliverer, and they'll be sealed, even the whole house of Jacob. And ungodliness shall be taken away from Israel. And to say this, not all that came out of Egypt are of Israel, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. And Paul said, I say that to say this, that they that are called Jews of the flesh, these are not Israel, nor are they children of God. But as in Christ, all of the 144,000 that comes to Christ to receive the seal in their forehead. And in Revelation 6, as it brings the opening of the seal and the sixth seal, as it is said in the early part of Revelation 7, so the sealing, and they were sealed in their head, their foreheads. And it was the name of the Lord, because it says, having passed through tribulation, then when they stand on the Mount Zion and the Lamb stands with them, the 144,000 standing having their names written, the Father's name, that is, written in their foreheads. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. If I were to come in another name, he'd receive me. The Father said, because thou hast manifested my name, Jesus said, having kept them in thy name, he said, I'll give you a name that no one knows but thee, and to whom he shall reveal it. And they that overcome, even a name that is in the white stone, a new name. This name he will write in our foreheads. Let's sing a song together. Appreciate your attention. Wasn't intending to take so long, but seeing that this is the translation of the church, someone would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean the translation of the church? I'm still looking, and I still see my hands and my face. I say again, I don't doubt that. He that observes lined vanities hath forsaken the rewards and the benefits of Calvary as to his own mercy. And the lined vanities as to the darkness, in that you're a creature of desire, and that to the human expressions of your own people. But the Bible said, who shall declare his posterity? Who shall declare his generation? For was Adam then the beginning of the creation of God? If it was, why does the Bible say in Jesus Christ was the beginning of the creation of God? Someone would say, you mean he waited that long? No, as Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you that before Abraham was, I am. And before Adam was, he was in the foreknowledge of God, and he was the Shekinah image in which Adam was made, and that which he lost, even when Adam was called the Son of God, before he lost that garment. As to the covering of the Shekinah, to be covered with a covering that was not of God, even the beastly covering, even the fleshly beast that you observe now, eyes being blinded. So, again I say, what am I to do? Observe lying vanities. Well, they that dwell in heaven, eyes enlightened, and these wonderful benefits. And maybe later the Spirit of the Lord will say more to us, even according to our desire and hunger. and make you to know more about the translation. Behold, asleep, and yet there is a revelation, yet there is a mystery. A mystery is something that is hid. A revelation is a mystery revealed. A mystery is a revelation concealed. And that is expressed to your human intelligence allegorically. And then if the light's in there, it turns it on to tell you what the potentials and that is hid within the type possesses. So then the translation, there's much to be said about it. Let's sing a little chorus together. Can you stand with me? Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, an entrance within his demanding? Oh, is the voice I hear? Can you sing this song? Softly the tones are falling. Open the door for me, and if you will heed my call, I shall abide with thee. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice falling on my ear, the Son of God is disclosing, for he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joys we share as we tarry here, no other has ever. What can I give him of all he has given? Oh, what can I give to my Lord? Sing that with me. I don't have riches or mansions or a palace. Oh, what can I give to my Lord? Earth is his footstool, and heaven is his throne. The cattle of a thousand my Lord already owns, and all that I have, it was his from the start. What can I give to the Lord but my heart? Let's sing another little chorus together, and as we sing this little chorus together, the altars are open. If you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. Sweep over my soul, sing that with me. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it like this now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and thou sail the rough seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord. Can you sing that with me? Sing it with me. Every hour I need thee. I need precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it like this now. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away, for he has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus send to stay. Just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn away. Let's lift our hands, close our eyes. And let's sing this little chorus together. And thine shall be. I want you to know that I appreciate you coming to Little Bethlehem. Indeed, it is the home of the soul. And we're trying our best to reach out around the world, for Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we're trying to do, to share the best way that we know how with people, to help people, to keep down problems and troubles. And sometimes, though we be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, we're not trying to hurt, but we're trying to help. Though in many things we offend all, yet blessed is he that's not offended in me. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, keepeth his heart. David said, my heart is fixed, and evil tidings shall not trouble me. So then we know that the minister isn't going to trouble us. We're here to worship the Lord, to help you. I need your prayers and you need my prayers. I was talking to a brother yesterday, Paul Ondo, and he was telling me he's been in church for a number of times lately. He'd been out of church for quite a long while, and some things happened. He was hurt, offended, Some people said some things to him, but he said, you know, I never did leave Bethlehem, Brother Pike. He said, my heart's been there all the time, and you don't know how many times that I wanted to come back to church. And now he's back in church with the brethren, wanting to worship with us and work with us. And others have come. Numbers of others have come as of late, which we told you a long time back that that would happen. And they've come and they've affiliated with the work and with the brethren. And since then, the brethren have had a chance to acknowledge some of their mistakes that have caused some of those people to be offended and to leave. And during that time, some of those people that were offended that left have come to acknowledge their mistake. As our brother said, it was just rebellion, really, Brother Pike. And they have acknowledged that. They've grown closer and all have grown together in developing in the things of God to come to a greater understanding, a greater way of life, and to move on toward that full measure, to that full reward. So then, forgetting those things that are behind today, God said, I will do a new thing, and we are new people now. A new people. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. And by the mistakes and sorrows and heartaches, everyone finds his way. And the Bible said we learn obedience by the things that we suffer, even to the death on the cross. Jesus did this. And though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author and finisher of our salvation. So as to the love of God within you, it's easy to love your enemies, do good to them, despitefully use you, pray for them that persecute you. And that's the only way that the life of Christ is lived, is Christ within you, has to give you the desire and strength. Otherwise, you will not have no desire for this, though you be ever so religious. Your hunger and thirst is to the God of this world, and the love of the world within you, it will cause you to go after the world. But beloved friend, when you get that wonderful Spirit of Christ who's seen as to the pearl of great price, you'll sell all that you've got. You'd rather be that spiritual man and be in that spiritual world than to have all of the satisfactions of the flesh. And you'll find yourself working fervishly, trying to get rid of everything as in the early church, to sell all that you've got, to give to God and His cause and put your treasure in heaven. And even as to whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, to affiliate with God and to make all of your way of life as to a labor that you might have to give to others, trusting God to supply all of your needs, physically, spiritually, financially, every way, and blessing you with the abundance of joy as He makes you rich, both naturally and spiritually, and addeth no sorrow, though the world hath riches. My, if you could look behind the scene and see the sorrows. As Ford, the great man Ford, said, all my wealth I would give if I could eat one little can of sardines and a box of soda crackers and not have problems as my stomach goes into knots or whatever. As Solomon said, this is an evil that I've seen under the sun, whereas God hath given much to someone and not given him the power to eat thereof. And the man that's in rags that can sit down just hitchhiking along the road and get a box of soda crackers and a can of sardines, he is so much more happier, so much more revived and refreshed. No pain and no misery, and the satisfying of the appetite that God gave, and not as to the vanities of this world, which the man must pass away and leave. And as riches maketh themselves wings and fly away, so it has happened unto you. But the Bible said, committing unto God's trust as to your way of life, he then will commit to you the true riches, even the eternal riches. So time will be, all the riches will be gone. No more the body then will be gone. Prime time shall be no more. Sing that with me now. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. So I will praise Him. Praise the Lord. once again together now. And I'm going to ask Hercules to come up and dismiss us, if he will. I praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll for his blood that washed away. Yeah. Just one more time together. Oh, I will praise him, my